Today is Saturday, the 22nd of July 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 91st session on Mindfulness for Beginners in the English medium. And we are broadcasting this over Zoom and also through the live stream over Satipatthala Foundation's Facebook web page. For this program, we have the good fortune of having Venerable Bhante Homa Gamatama Kusala Thero, representing Saranavane Forest Monastery, and we would like to welcome Bhante with much respect for this program today. And I would also like to welcome all of you joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook. Our program will run up as commencing with in-session mindfulness practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness. The topic for today is nature versus nurture. And then we will move on to the question and answer session, where we present the written reports and also allow chance for verbal questions on mindfulness. And then we will wrap up the program after some time for any further discussion on any aspect of the topic of mindfulness. So we would commence things, and I would like to invite Venerable Bhante with much respect to start up with the talk, to start up with the in-session practice for today. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. Today, we can do a walking practice as the beginning part of our program. So we'll take probably like 15, 20 minutes to practice mindfulness while walking. For this, you need some space where you can walk back and forth comfortably, probably like 10-15 feet space would be enough. Select this space, start walking. You can just walk in a comfortable manner. And what we are doing is we try to take more and more conscious steps. That's what we are trying to do. We walk in a comfortable manner and we try to take more conscious steps. Now, when we walk, usually our body is walking. Our mind is somewhere else. Mind is usually lost, thinking thoughts. That's how we usually walk. But here, when we practice mindfulness, we try to walk with consciousness. We try to be aware that our body is walking. So how do you know that you are aware? You can feel the ground touching against your feet. You can feel the texture, temperature of the ground. You can feel which parts of your feet is touching the ground. Maybe it's the heel that's touching first. Maybe it's the toes that are touching. So when you feel these details, you know for sure that you are taking conscious steps. So that's what we are going to do. We are going to walk in a comfortable manner and we try to take more and more conscious steps. Time to time, it's natural that your attention goes to the surrounding sights, surrounding sounds, various thoughts, memories come, storytelling, thinking mind, these things happen. But again and again, we can bring our attention to the steps. Again and again, we have the ability to know that our body is walking. We have the ability to know that we are taking conscious steps. So that way, we try to walk for 10-15 minutes. And we try to take more and more conscious steps while walking. So all of you, you can start joining the walking session. Okay, everyone, that's our time for mindful walking today. Now you can return back to your seats. With that, Namante, you can take over.
Thank you and many merits for to Bhante for that exercise during session. Now, the next step would be to have the talk on mindfulness, and the topic for today is nature versus nurture. And I would like to invite Bhante with great respect to commence with the talk for today. Over to Bhante again. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everybody. We are starting a new topic today. Nature versus nurture. So what's the idea behind this? Now, when we think about our life, in a way, we have certain qualities from birth. We have certain traits in our genes. We have certain behaviors programmed into us. So these things are there from birth. So earlier, the idea was you can't change these things. The scientific field, they thought that these qualities, these traits are fixed and continue as long as you live. So they come in your genes and they are fixed and they may continue like that. That was the initial idea. But more and more they develop, more research they do, they find that there's this possibility to change these qualities. These traits, there's this possibility to change. The programming in our genes, there is this possibility to change. So certain things are there in our genetic code. But there is this possibility or there is this potential to change these things. So what's the idea behind this changing process and how can we change our behaviors, change our traits in a better direction? So that's the discussion that we are going to have. So this field, they call it epigenetics. The idea behind it is that something above genes, the genetics are there, but above genes, there's something else as well. What is this something else? It's more like the chemical flagging. You have certain genes in your genetic code, certain things programmed into you, but this chemical flagging will decide whether these things stay latent or whether they become active in you. So these things matter. This chemical flagging matter. You could be having a cancer gene, but it may stay latent or it may become active. So that depends on this chemical flagging. So what's the idea behind it? It's the nurture. In your genes, you have certain parts, right? So that's called nature. It's like karma written into you, right? But in addition, the nurture matters as well. The choices you make, it matters as well. So you can really change the nature based on the choices that you make. So when it comes to our choices, every moment we are making choices. It could be bodily, it could be verbal, it could be mental. Again and again, we are making choices. Every moment we are making choices. Even right now, we are making choices. This process is always continuing, whether it could be bodily, verbally, or mental. So you can see the things that we decide, things that we choose, the words we speak, the actions we do, everything matters. Everything matters. That's the nurture part. Nature is there. Certain things are written into you. in your programming, certain things are there, but nurture also matters. So when it comes to this nurture part, mindfulness really comes into action. If you are not mindful, you don't know what are the choices that you make. You are in the darkness. Your mind is lost, thinking thoughts, going after various mind objects. And without you even knowing, you are making choices. So if you are unaware about these choices, there's no question, there's no doubt, you are making unhealthy choices because you are unaware. It's happening in the darkness. Whereas this darkness, it's in your mind. The darkness of ignorance. You don't know what's happening. You are not aware for most of it. So when it comes to mindfulness, we say, try to be more and more conscious. We say, try to take conscious steps. Try to take conscious breaths. That's the starting point of mindfulness. Let's say if there's a beginner here, if there's a newcomer here, what's the advice we can give? You can walk for some time. 15, 20 minutes, 30, 40 minutes. Just select some space. Walk in a comfortable manner. You don't have to, you know, force your walking. Instead, allow your body to walk comfortably and just try to take more and more conscious steps. When you walk, anyway, the body is walking. It has been walking for a long time, so the body knows how to walk. So this process is happening. It is more like happening in the darkness. We don't know what's happening. When we give the order, our body walks. That's the natural process that's happening. But we say, allow your body to walk and be aware, be mindful, try to take more and more conscious steps. In this darkness, you try to light a candle, or you direct a flashlight into the darkness. What is this flashlight? The light of mindfulness you direct into it. When you direct a flashlight into the darkness, you can see certain things. This light will allow you to see things. Okay, there is a table here in this darkness. There is a cat sleeping nearby. So you start to see the things in this darkness. This light of mindfulness we are directing into this process, and we try to take more and more conscious steps. As I mentioned earlier, when you know that your feet is touching the ground, when you know the texture or the temperature of the ground, when you feel whether your heel or whether it's the toes that are touching. So these are the conscious steps that we
I think we lost Bhante from a signal issue.
Namanta, can you hear?
Yes, Bhante. We can hear Bhante.
Sorry, I had a trouble in my connection.
That's okay. Thank you, Bhante, for rejoining.
So we try to walk in a comfortable manner and we try to take more and more conscious steps. Now every day, probably like 10,000 steps we are taking. Walking in your house, inside your house, walking to the workplace, then going shopping, walking to various other places. So daily, around 10,000 steps, we are walking. So how many conscious steps, if I may ask, you might wonder. So when we practice, when we think about this nurture part, we try to take at least 100, 200 conscious steps can I take daily. Then when sitting, we sit in a comfortable manner. We allow our body to be comfortable and we try to know more and more conscious breaths. The breathing, anyway, it's happening. Every day it is said that probably around 22,000 breaths are happening. Your body breathes. So can I be conscious of this breath? Can I know that my body is breathing? So we say conscious breaths. How do you know that you are conscious of your breath? If you feel the in-breath touching your nostrils, or if you feel the movement of your stomach according to the in-breath, so that counts as a conscious breath. Then if you know that your breath is, out-breath is touching your nostrils, if you feel the temperature, or if you feel the movement of your stomach according to the out-breath, so we say these things count as conscious breaths. So we sit in a comfortable manner. We allow our body to breathe and we try to know more and more conscious breaths. So when it comes, breaths matter. Then every day we are doing various activities. We are brushing our teeth. We are having our meals. We are drinking things. So while doing these activities, can I take conscious bites? Can I brush my teeth consciously? So again and again, you try. Because now you know this nurture, it matters. The choices you make every moment, they matter. If they matter, then of course you have to be more and more conscious about the things, about the choices that you're making. So you have to be aware. That awareness is what we are preaching as mindfulness. Again and again, you have to develop this quality. Your mind habitually goes into the ignorance. It is really comfortable there. Your mind is really comfortable in this darkness. So things are happening. You are making choices, but you don't know what are the choices you make. So if you know that nurture matters, if you know that you can change it, then you try to spread the light of mindfulness into your mind more and more. You try to direct a flashlight into this darkness, this darkness of ignorance. We try to be aware of what are the things that we do, what are the words we speak, what are the mental choices that we make. So this awareness will grow gradually. It will develop gradually. You can't suddenly be aware within few hours, within few minutes. But it's a quality of your mind that you have to gradually develop. When you develop it for few weeks, for few months, then you start to see what are the choices that you make moment to moment. More and more light coming to these choices. Consciously, you are able to decide. Earlier, they were happening. According to the power of habit, they were happening. But now you have choices. When mind objects come into your mind, usually they get triggered in various ways. Sometimes we get attracted to them. Sometimes aversion. Sometimes neutral feelings are there. These three things are there. This is how we experience mind objects, either positive or with aversion or neutral. So earlier you didn't have any choice over these things. It was just happening. Neutral things go as neutral. Pleasant things go as pleasant. Unpleasant things go as unpleasant. That's how it goes. But when you practice more and more, you get more and more choices. Sometimes a pleasant thing comes. But if you are aware, you don't allow your mind to change according to this pleasant thing, or you don't allow your mind to move according to this pleasant thing. Instead, more choices become available to you. You could be neutral towards this, or you could be negative towards this. These reactions, in a way, the ways of responding become available to you. They come as a result of more and more awareness, being more conscious. So that's how gradually you can change this for better. Again and again, every moment you are making choices. These daily choices matter. Nurture matters. So if you know that nurture matters, you have to be wise making choices. You have to be more and more aware making choices. When you have your meals, what are the choices that you make? If you are not aware, it is natural that your body becomes sick due to the food. Maybe sugar, maybe too much oil or fat. So these things are there. So it depends on the choices that you make. So if you are not mindful, you might eat all the things that are available. And if you are not mindful, you might consume a large quantity. So when that is happening as a habit, what happens in 10 or 15 years? It's natural that your body gets sick. Because you are making choices every day, you are consuming these things every day, gradually they accumulate, and gradually your body becomes sick. So whatever the food that is available, you pick them, you select them. Somebody might invite you and they open this huge table of food and they invite you to consume. Although various types are available on the table, that's only the offering. You go with a plate and you select. And everybody's plate, it is identical to them. They make choices. At a dinner table, they make choices. They pick certain things according to their choices. So although there are so many different types are there on the table, you pick according to your choices. What's on your plate becomes identical to you, unique to you. So that's how we make choices. So these things matter. If you know, if you are attentive, then of course, sometimes you can be aware that I am consuming these things. Maybe initially you can't stop, but at least you know that this is bad for me. Anyway, I am consuming. If you at least have that awareness, it is helping. Even a few days ago, somebody was telling that I know this is bad, but anyway, I am doing it. So I told him that awareness will protect you. You know that it's bad for you, but anyway, you are doing. Continue with that awareness. We can't suddenly say stop. That's not realistic in this world. Instead, you are consuming. You are making bad choices. Earlier, you wasn't aware. Now, at least you know that you are making bad choices. That knowing makes a huge difference. You don't feel it initially. You feel the friction initially. But if you know that you are making these choices, if you know that this is bad but still you are consuming, then that's something that will protect you. So that's how the awareness will protect you. You are making bad choices, but still you know that you are making bad choices. So that way, we try to grow our awareness more and more. You start with your steps. You start with your breath. You start with the meals that you consume. You start with brushing your teeth. That's how you have to start. That's where you have to start. Gradually you develop your consciousness. Gradually you develop your ability to be aware. When you develop it, you realize now I am making wise choices. Sometimes still I make bad choices, but at least I know. I know the amount that I am taking. I know the amount that I am consuming. So this way, you little by little try to implement, try to spread awareness into your life. Try to do more and more choices with awareness. So that matters. That's why when we practice, you have these experiences. You know that this person said something. Earlier I get triggered, but today I didn't get triggered. I knew that I am angry and I walked away. You have that ability. You have that ability. How can you develop that ability? You have to be aware. You have to be conscious of the situation. When you know that you are aware, when you know that you are angry, more choices become available to you. You can walk away. That's a choice. Or you can respond in a positive manner to a criticism. Usually the world is, if somebody criticizes you, you have to get angry. That's the usual response. But the practitioner, they have the totally different response. The opposite response they have. Somebody come and criticize you, you side with them and you agree. So what happens? They get confused. They get confused. What is happening? Why is this person siding with me and criticizing himself? So that's a fun drama that you can play. So these things are there. These ways, different ways are there. Only with awareness, only with being conscious, these things become available to you. So gradually you have to improve this practice. Gradually when you improve, you know that nurture matters. The choices you make matters. Even the choices that your parents made, they are in your genes. Even the choices that your grandparents made, they are in your genes. So you see, although the certain things are programmed into our genetic code, it is always changing. How it is changing according to the nurture. So that's why we say every moment matters. Every breath matters. Every step matters. Every bite you take matters. So how can you protect it? You can only protect it in the present moment. You can't worry about the past. No matter how much you worry, you can't change it. Past is dead. Then you can't plan the future, tomorrow. Tomorrow is not born yet. If you are protecting, you have to protect the present moment. You have to protect the present moment and all the past things will be forgiven and your future will be protected. That's how you can really gain forgiveness for anything you have done. You have to protect the present moment. If you protect the present moment, then everything is forgiven and your future will be protected anyway. So that way, we try to implement this practice. That way, we try to change the choices we make. Depending on the choices, you can either change your genes or you can allow the nature to continue. It depends, depending on your choices, whether you are conscious in the present moment. That's what counts. If you are not conscious, anyway, the nature is continuing. It is happening. It's programmed into your genes. So let's say you might have a cancer gene, but it may stay latent or it may become active. Depends on you. Depends on the nurture part. So if you are making wise choices, then it might stay latent. So that's how we can gradually implement this practice, or you can gradually change the nurture for better. When you change the nurture, you can really play with this nature as well. So that's the idea we want to give today. You can try and experiment. You can try and implement. See how your habitual behaviors are changing with practice. Again and again, certain traits, certain behaviors are there. Of course, we have to acknowledge that. We are not suppressing it. We are not refusing it. I'm telling again and again, as the practice, we try to plug into the reality, not to suppress the reality. That's not what we are doing. We try to accept the reality. We try to acknowledge the reality. So when you acknowledge, when you accept, you know certain thoughts are there, certain traits are there, these things are there. They are there not because you are some kind of a special person. Everybody has their own traits. Everybody is defected. Everybody has their own faults. So for the sake of humanity, we have to accept these things. Let the traits be, let those habits, thought patterns be, but try to be conscious of them. Again and again, know that these thoughts are there. Again and again, know that these addictions are there. Again and again, know that you are making bad choices. That knowing somehow will protect you. That knowing will allow you to continue your practice. So gradually we have to address this. Gradually we have to deal with this. If you try to, you know, do it within few days, you become overwhelmed and soon you will give up. So that's why I say every day, at least like 40 minutes, just do the sitting. 40 minutes of mindful walking, do. So that's probably like 1.5 hours per day. Then the rest of the time, you can simply do your own thing and just live your life. Again, tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow is a fresh day. Try to start your sitting. In early in the morning, you can start your day with the sitting. Then towards the end of the day, you may practice few minutes of mindful walking. Again, day after tomorrow, you do. So that way, gradually, you have to deal with this. Gradually, you have to address this. When you do it for few months, few weeks, then suddenly you realize, suddenly it hits you that your behavior is changed. Now certain traits are there, but you have a choice over them. That experience is not foreign to a practitioner. They know that their mind is changing. They know that their mind is evolving. That change is happening. Sometimes it gets triggered after a while. Sometimes you feel that this incident happened, but I didn't react according to the habitual way. Or this news came, but my mind didn't create a fuss out of it. So after a few hours only, you realize that person came, that incident happened, but I was not triggered. I didn't get triggered due to it. This news came, but I didn't worry over it much. So when you have these experiences, you know that your mind is changing. You know that your mind is evolving. This evolving, this change is happening due to the nurture part. If it is fixed from birth, if it is fixed in your genes, then this change can't happen. It is happening. There's something about genes. That's why it's called epigenetics. This is above genes, this is over genes, and this chemical flagging, you can either activate a gene or you can keep it latent. So that choice is there. How to exercise that choice? You have to protect the present moment. You have to be more and more conscious in the present moment. And when you try this for a few weeks, few months, then you realize now I'm exercising this ability to make better choices. I'm exercising this ability to make wise choices. So that's the idea for today. Try to practice and try to experience this in your life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merit for that wonderful talk. Next, we have the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session on with the introduction to beginners and then proceed on to the written reports received for today. Over to Sonali. Thank you. Much merits.
Thank you, Namanta. Avasarai Bhante. I will start with the beginner's guide. As you can see in the slide, this is for the benefit of who's starting new or someone who needs a refresher. We've got two videos provided by Nisara and Wanaya. And one is about walking and the next is about sitting meditation. Once you view these two videos, you can then put your own experience into words and write a report to us and include daily mindfulness if you can as well, where something like a routine daily task that you take on that you remember to be mindful and write the your experience in your own words and send it to us. You can send the reports to us via Google form or the email address beginnersnv@gmail.com. We'll be sharing all these details on the chat later. So once you send it to us, we will present it to Bhante for his guidance on it. You can see some of the reports that we will read out later, and that will follow the same format, so you can use that as a guideline. So I will start with the, we have only received one report today. I will start with the report now. Mindful walking. Walked on to the station on the way to work. Steps were quicker than when on walking path. Attention naturally moved to the process of walking. Upper body was leaning backwards while going down the steep slope. Lifting and placing of feet were more prominent, but the movement of feet in the air couldn't be distinguished due to the speed of the walking. Light breeze felt on the skin. Awareness returned to the feet movement again. Some thoughts arose and these passed away. Noted how the body weight was distributed equally on both legs while standing, waiting for the crossing. Heard the sound of train nearby. There would have been sounds of light traffic when the walk started, but don't remember hearing this. Walked for 20 minutes. Mindful sitting. A client had messaged to cancel the session 10 minutes before the start time. Instead of doing admin, took this opportunity to set the alarm for 40 minutes and sat on the cushion in the office room as no one else was in the room. After a body scan, the breath appeared, although not prominently felt, so attention was focused more on noticing the in and out breath. After a while, breath was noticed and rise and fall of the stomach, expanding and contracting of the chest and the nostrils almost at the same time. Sense of ease felt in the mind. This changed when attention moved to pressure on the cushion felt. Breath came into focus again when thoughts appeared from time to time. Couldn't really say what those were about. Breath had become short and subtle. Sat for 40 minutes until the alarm sounded. mindfulness during the day, noticing the wholesome and unwholesome thoughts that arose in the mind during that day. It is easier to also recognize the associated sensations in the body with these thoughts. When good news arrived, there was less movement in the mind due to the experience that good news would also pass away. This experience from ongoing mindfulness practice also helps when unwholesome thoughts arose. There is less agitation in the mind, and the awareness of bad feelings would also pass away. Also noting the neutral thoughts that and feelings a bit more, which is a newer awareness. When doing household chores, more neutral feelings noted instead of the other two. When there was less time and more tasks to do, the agitation noted in the mind and the associated unwholesome inner chatter. When going doing work tasks and when finishing these in time, that brings good feelings in the mind, which is noted. There is less need to holding on to these good feelings as the dance between wholesome and unwholesome and neutral thoughts and feelings in the mind and how these changes regularly is seen more clearly now. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to organizers. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. That way of practice, we can really implement in our daily life. Now, even Sonali mentioned about finding some kind of a routine, right? So anyway, you are walking. Every day, a few minutes, you are walking to the train station. So why not practice during that time? So that way you have to find certain occasions, certain opportunities where you anyway get to do these things. So why not do them mindfully? So that's the idea. Why not take that time to practice? That's the idea. So that's being wise in your daily activities. Otherwise, if you start complaining, I have no time, those complaints, they never end. But if you know, if you think this is important, if you can make wise decisions, then you can create opportunities to practice. So this report is a very good example of that. That routine is there. Anyway, you are walking to the train station. So why not practice mindful walking? Instead of worrying about the cancelled appointment, instead of blaming them for cancelling it just 10 minutes before, why not do a sitting session? So that's being wise. That's how you can really implement this in your busy life. Otherwise, you can keep postponing, telling that I will practice tomorrow, I will practice next year, I will practice in few years, I will practice after my retirement. That day never comes. So if you are wise, then you can find certain slots where you can practice these routines. Anyway, they are there. So why not practice mindfulness? So that's how you have to remind yourself. That's how you have to incorporate this practice into your daily life. When things become available, when the time is available, you can do a sitting session. It doesn't matter that you are in the office. You can simply sit and see the difference in your mind after that sitting session. Earlier, how the status of your mind. Then after the sitting session, what's the status of your mind? So that's how you can really practice. Although you are living a busy life, you can practice. And towards the latter part of your report, you mention about the day-to-day practice. When you practice, you start to notice these different things. You mention them in your report, negative, positive, and neutral. Usually what happens is that towards the negative, we have aversion in our mind. Towards the positive, we are attracted. Towards the neutral, we have ignorance. We don't know that neutral things are there. They don't go into our accounts. positive or negative, we get triggered. We get triggered either with aversion or attraction. If it is positive, you get attracted to it. That's your trigger. If it is negative, you get aversion towards it. That's your trigger. And the neutral things go unnoticed. But the practitioner, when more and more light come into the practice, when they have more ability to be aware, they start to see this function. They start to see this circuit board, how this line is directly connected to the aversion, how this line is directly connected to the attraction, how this line is directly connected to the ignorance. With that awareness, you start to see, now instead of the attraction, can I have aversion towards it? Or can I stay neutral? So that part is mentioned in your report. Now more light coming to the neutral feeling. Neutral, it wasn't that obvious earlier. But now you start to feel that sound of a bird or touch of the sand against your feet. Some people, they say these neutral things, they become really pleasurable. When you walk barefoot, touch of the sand against your feet, it is really pleasurable. When you do certain small things mindfully, how much attention you have to give, how much you enjoy that task, a tiny thing you are doing. For minutes, for hours, you are doing it. But you are enjoying that task. You are lost in that activity. So that's the magic of the practice. Earlier, you just had ignorance towards these things. You wanted them to be finished because these things are menial tasks. But now, with the help of the practice, you start to enjoy them. In other words, they say, try to appreciate little things in your life, not the big things, not the huge goals. Instead, sound of a bird, walking barefoot, drinking a cup of tea, color of a flower. These things you start to appreciate more and more. You start to appreciate the nature more and more. You start to see the sun in the sky. You start to see the color of the sky. So these things matter. That's how more and more light come into the neutral feeling. And when more and more light come into the neutral feeling, these simple things, these little things, they become more and more pleasurable. So that's how we evolve. Now, I just need to mention one more thing. In your report, you mentioned wholesome, unwholesome. Usually, according to the tradition, we might say, avoid the unwholesome things, pick the wholesome things. That's the usual idea. That's correct for the tradition. That's correct for the religion. But when it comes to the practice, when it comes to the Dhamma, when it comes to the path, we don't appreciate either of them. We know that this is unwholesome, but we are not suppressing it. The religion would come and tell you, suppress the unwholesome things. The religion will come and tell you, pick the wholesome things, good and bad. But they are connected. Good and bad, they can't live without the other. So if you have good, whether you like it or not, you have the bad. If you have the bad, whether you like it or not, you have the good. That's like Batman versus the Joker. that man is trying to establish good in this society. As a result, you get this destructive person, the Joker. He is not just doing the bad, but he is trying to destroy the concept of good even. Right? So they are interconnected. The religion will say, pick the good things, pick the wholesome things, avoid, suppress the unwholesome things. That is the idea of the religion. But when it comes to the practice, when it comes to the meditation, when it comes to the Dhamma, we are not picking either negative or positive. We say no the wholesome things as wholesome, no the unwholesome things as unwholesome. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything further. You don't have to suppress the unwholesome things. You don't have to vote for the wholesome things. That's not there. So this is a point that most Buddhists won't get. Most religious people won't get this point. They want to suppress the unwholesome things. They want to vote for the wholesome things. That's how the religion is. But when it comes to the meditation, we say, no wholesome things as wholesome things. You don't have to do anything else. Just let them be. No unwholesome things as unwholesome things. Just let them be. These are the two wolves in your mind, good and bad. So allow them to be. You know which is wholesome. You know which is unwholesome. That's the way of the meditator. That's the way of the practice. So in your report, towards the last part, towards the end, you are touching this point. You know that things, wholesome things as wholesome things. You know unwholesome things as unwholesome things. It is natural that you get this tendency to avoid or suppress the unwholesome things. It is natural that you get this tendency to, you know, empower the wholesome things. But what we are suggesting, behave in the future to allow not to suppress the unwholesome things, not to empower the wholesome things. Just observe. Like a CCTV camera, you are observing. The thing that's happening, it could be wholesome, it could be unwholesome, the camera doesn't care. Just observing, totally alert recording. So that's the type of the practice that we are recommending. Right? Because if you pick good, eventually the bad will come. If you pick bad, good is there. Right? So they are interconnected. So if you pick one, the other one will tag along. So the meditator, we have to advise them, just let them be. No wholesome things as wholesome things. No unwholesome things as unwholesome things. You might have certain tendencies towards them that comes from your religious training. It's okay to have those tendencies, but just let them be. Let the unwholesome things be. Let the defilements be. Let the lust be. They too should have a roof over their head. They have been there in your mind forever, like forever. So why you suddenly want to get rid of them? Just let them be for a while. Yesterday you became a meditator. Today you want to get rid of the defilements. So that's the usual attitude. Yesterday I met a person. He came to the monastery 2 days ago. So this person was telling in his experience that I want to get rid of these defilements. I want to attain this as soon as possible. So it's bad for me to make fun of them, but I asked him how many days ago you came here. 2 days, Mante. So 2 days ago you came. Today you want to get rid of the defilements. So that's how they are. But you have to allow them to be and gradually develop this practice. Know the wholesome things as wholesome, know the unwholesome things as unwholesome. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else. Just let them be again and again, continue with the knowing. So that's the idea I want to give. It's a very nice report. It's good to hear, even for the listeners, it's good how to fix these things into routines. How to create opportunities in your daily life, in your busy life to practice. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. And thank you for the person who wrote the report as well. We don't have any more reports today, but luckily we have some time for questions today. I know last week we ran over quite a long bit. So if anyone's got questions, today is a good day to ask questions. Please raise your Zoom hand and I'll allow you to unmute yourself. Panchani, I can see your hand raised. Would you like to unmute and ask the question?
Hello, Bhante. Avasarai. I just wanted to add something from my own experience. You know, I have been practicing for some time now. Sometimes it feels like I'm an amphibian, you know, sometimes on the mud, sometimes swimming against the current in the water. That's exactly how it feels like at the moment. You know, when you're in the mud, that's when the mindfulness is not strong enough. And you know that you're in the mud. But when other people come and say, you know, why are you reacting like that? You've been practicing for some time. Like, you just know that if I just take some mindful footsteps or just sit down and watch my breath for a while, you know, just sit down even. Just stop the running mind, you know, I can come back just like that. But when other people are saying things like that, I just wonder, you know, why do these people, I go into friction with that one. You know, I live with another practitioner. So sometimes they just say, just watch your body sensations. Why are you reacting like that? Just be like saying, I know the solution. Just leave me alone and let it be, you know. I don't know. I just, you know me very well now, so I just share my experiences.
Okay, so you had the answer in your comment. You just tell them you are an amphibian, right? Sometimes you live in the land, sometimes you live in the water. So that's how it is, right? So that's the answer. They try to, you know, they try to tell you have to only stay in the land. Otherwise, they say you go and stay in the water, don't come into the land. That's how the world is. They try to divide us. Okay, you are a meditator. You have to behave in this manner. You are a monk. You have to behave in this manner. You are a Buddhist. You have to behave in this manner. So this is the religion. This is the tradition that talks. But when it comes to the practice, when it comes to the meditator, they go beyond these boundaries. They go beyond these limits or these cages, right? So that's why at times you are like a super meditator. At times you are like crazy, right? So that's how it is. That's how it is. Allow that process to continue. Allow that process to continue. That is how this evolves. That's why they say even sometimes the, let's say a mind that has gone crazy, or the, let's say the Buddha's mind, or the Buddha mind, let's say the practitioner's mind, or somebody like enlightened person's mind, right? So they might appear similar to outside. So it is said that their eyes don't last anywhere. The eyes, they just float, right? Not lasting anywhere, not fixed anywhere. They just float, right? So both appears the same. Even the crazy person, their eyes, they float, right? Enlightened person, also their eyes float. Right, so it's a funny way to compare this practice, right? You have to go beyond these boundaries. You have to go beyond these cages. You have to go beyond this line that separates land versus the water. That's how it is. The world will come and tell you, no, no, you have to behave this way. You are a meditator. You have to behave this way. You are a monk. You have to behave this way. You are a Buddhist. That's the world talking. We don't care about the world because you are a practitioner. You know what is happening. It's more like, you know, it's like this refining process that's happening. Certain things are getting released. So your mind becomes more and more purified. Certain hidden things are there in your mind. Sometimes you feel sad for no reason. Sometimes you feel like crying. Sometimes you feel like screaming. So these things are there. Don't suppress them. Allow them to get released. That's how it is. That's how it is. And you feel much lighter afterwards. This phase might last for a few days, few hours. And towards the end of it, you feel much lighter. It's more like catharsis that's happening. These wounds, psychological wounds are there. These things are releasing. Now these days, there's this German psychologist here. He has been practicing for like 2.5 months. He's coming and telling, I feel like crying for no reason. For days, I feel this deep melancholy within me. What to do, Bhante? What can I do? He's asking. He's looking for a solution. He doesn't know that this is the process. Right? For no reason, you feel this deep melancholy within you. For days on, you feel. Sometimes you feel like screaming. You feel like crying. For no reason. So that's why Buddha says, go to a forest. Go to an abandoned place. There is nobody to judge you there. That's the idea he's giving. The trees won't judge you. The animals won't judge you. So you can be at ease and you can allow this healing process to happen. If you feel like crying for no reason, just cry. Let it release. If you feel like this deep melancholy for a few days, just be with it, accept it. And when you accept it, within a few hours, within a few days, when it ends, you feel much lighter. So that German person, he's a psychologist, he's coming and asking what to do. I feel this, I feel like crying. Why is it? I feel this deep melancholy within me. Why is it? He wants to find a solution. He wants an answer. But we have to tell him, just let it be. If you feel like crying, just cry. If you feel this deep melancholy, just let it be for a while. And when you allow it to release, you feel much better afterwards. That's how it is. There was this Zen TV series, probably like in 80s or something. There's this blind Zen teacher and there's this young student, Grasshopper, that's his name, that's his nickname. Yes, so the grasshopper is asking from the teacher, sometimes you are crying, sometimes you are laughing like nothing. Why is it? Why you behave this way? Then the teacher asks, shouldn't I laugh? Shouldn't I cry? But you are a monk. You have to behave in a certain way. That there is this discipline. So the student is suggesting. So the teacher says the discipline is there not to live less, but to live more. So when I feel like crying, I cry like a baby. When I feel like laughing, I laugh. Like a baby. They don't hold things. They don't try to please their parents.
Instead, whenever they feel like crying, they cry. Whenever they feel like laughing, they laugh.
So when they don't try to please somebody else, they have no tension. But when they grow, they realize that I have to please my mother. I have to please my father. This is I have to do to please them. So they suppress their own feelings and start pleasing the other people, start pleasing the family, start pleasing the parents, start pleasing the society.
When you live in this society, there's this tendency to conform with it. The herd behavior. If others are doing, I am also doing. So there was this very nice experiment about it. So there was this waiting line, and all the people are planted except for one, right? So they when the bell sound is there, they get up, then again they sit down. So these people are planted. They are hired people to behave according to the bell. So the new person is coming, sitting in that line. Then everybody is standing up. For a few times he is observing. Starting from the fourth time, that person is also getting up according to the bell. Again, sits down. Again, gets up. So now they have done this funny thing. They have removed all the people, all the planted people, all the hired people. They have removed. Now only that person is remaining. Still that person is getting up according to the bell, then sits down. Then another stranger comes. He's also sitting, right? Then when the bell sound hits, that other person gets up, then sits down. Another one is asking, why are you standing? They have done it, so I am also doing it. Right? So that's the answer. So both of them, they start getting up for the bell, then again sits down. So that's how we are. Most of us, we live according to this herd behavior. When we live in a society, you have to conform to it. But when you go into a forest, nobody is there to judge you. Trees, they don't judge you. Animals, they don't judge you. So you can allow this practice to mature. You can allow this mind to heal itself. So this is the healing process. You just let it be. You just allow it to happen. That's the idea. So thank you for sharing.
I hope that answered your question as well. If anyone else has any questions, we still have a little bit more time. Please raise your hand and I will let you unmute and ask your question. Surprisingly, I don't see any other hands up. It's very odd not to have so many questions, but looks like we don't have any more questions. Namantha, would you like to take over then?
Oh, yes, thank you, and much merits, Sonali, and much merits to Bhante for excellent insight. Since we are not having any further questions, we will move on to wrapping up the program session for today. I would like to share all the merits gained with Venerable Bhante Hom Agamadhamma Kusala Theru for representing Saravana Forest Monastery and its teachings in today's session, and providing us with much valued insight into training on mindfulness, on this mindfulness journey. Next, I would also like to share merits with the Chief Abbot of the Nisaranane Forest Monastery, Monsignor Bhante Udayarigam Dhammaji Mahathiru, for providing us a chance to have this program. And we wish that these merits will improve, have a positive impact on both Bhante's own mindfulness journeys. Furthermore, there are a wonderful set of organizers, a team of organizers who are contributing to the success and ongoing performance of this program. So we share merits with all these organizers and wish that their own mindfulness journeys will enhance and flourish. And also, we have all of you joining through Zoom and providing us the reason and the backbone for continuing this program. So I share all these merits with you and hope that you get to apply these learnings and teachings and enhance your own outlook on life through the toolkit of mindfulness. This is a very unique training. This is where you observe, and instead of suppressing, you try to observe what's happening within you and try to learn based on that observation. So this is different to the normal practice considered as mindfulness, usually in other traditions. So it's a very fruitful effort that we are making, and I hope that you keep on attending the program and reap the benefits of these teachings each week by logging into the session. And please also pass on the message to others who may be interested in similar topics and similar learnings. So with that, I would like to end the Zoom session and the live stream for today. I will wish that you are all able to enhance the application of these concepts, and wish to meet you next week, Saturday, at same time for a similar session on mindfulness. Much merits to all of you, and thank you.